Welcome to the Sexy and the Squirrel podcast, the podcast that turns dog training on its tail with a whirlwind of playful learning that achieves real life results. Each episode is packed with inventive games-based training solutions supported by our Games Club, the ultimate dog training membership, with a team of pro trainers helping you every step of the way. Think of us as your go-to squad of experts. I'm Lauren Langman, a top-level agility competitor, best-selling author, owner of one of the largest dog training facilities in the UK, and a founder of the Sexy and the Squirrel Challenge, a challenge that's helped over 130,000 dog owners get real-life results. Our team consists of experts in scent, detection, obedience, naughty but nice, search and rescue, tracking, the intricacies of why your dog does what they do, and so much more. Our mission, whether you're wrangling a bitey sharky puppy or you're teaching an old dog new tricks, we are here to help you be the very best dog owner that you can be for your dog. So grab your dog, their favourite reward, and a sense of adventure. It's time to transform your training sessions. Ready, set, play. Welcome to the Sexy and a Squirrel podcast, powered by the Games Club. Today, I am joined by some wonderful people. I don't know who I want to let start, really. I think you could all start. You're all amazing at what you're doing. I think I'm going to come to Michelle. Michelle, welcome, welcome, welcome. Tell us just a little bit about who you guys are and what you do.
Sure. So my name is Michelle Tate, and I am a service dog training instructor with Warrior and Canine Connection. And our headquarters is in Maryland. I work at one of our satellites in Asheville. And then what we do is we enlist our local veteran population to come in and work with our service dogs in training, where we teach them different concepts about how to work with the dogs and that kind of thing. And then somewhere along the way, usually the veterans learn a little bit about themselves through the dogs. So that's pretty much what we do here in Asheville.
That is mega. And I had the privilege of coming out and meeting you guys through Sarah. Sarah, it was amazing to have the opportunity. Sarah, tell me a little bit about your involvement here.
Yeah, so I started training with Absolute Dogs many, many years ago. And when I moved to Asheville, I moved with the purpose of becoming a dog trainer and very quickly met Amy, who is not on the call, but she's our program manager here. And have been volunteering with them for about 6 years on and off. And I'm hoping to one day work with them. I love working with Michelle and Amy both. So I volunteer, I'd say like 4 or 5 hours a week. I actually just was puppy raising and he left me today, went back to headquarters, little Merle. So yeah, I try to do whatever I can in the time that I have.
Oh, Sarah is amazing. And I was so grateful to have the introduction and to be able to see you guys working real time. Like, that was incredible. Now, when I was out with you, I got to meet you, Nick. And Nick, it was amazing. I have to say, like, I came in just, I wanted to see lots of different things when we were traveling and everything's cool. And you're like happy and grateful to see whatever you can. But Nick, when I watched you working, I got proper emotional. I was like, this is just like, this is what this is about. This is why we do this. This for me is a powerful why. It's why it's where passion is. It's what dogs are for. So I'm really pleased you're here, Nick, because meeting you and really it just made a difference. So tell me a little bit about you and tell us about your dog too.
Yeah. Thank you. That definitely means a lot. I'm a Marine Corps veteran. I've been out since 2016. I ran into Warrior Canine Connection about 4 years ago, and right around that time, Danny had entered the program here in Asheville, North Carolina, as a puppy, and I watched him train, watched him grow up, and I watched him leave to go back to headquarters in Maryland, and I can see how, Sarah, it's hard to see him leave, definitely. I didn't ever think I was going to see him again, and I got really, really lucky to get paired with him, and I know when you were here, it was just a little snippet of us together, but yeah, it's definitely amazing. I'm really lucky to have him.
Oh, and I think he's lucky to have you. And you know what, when I met him, I was like, yeah, Danny's a nice dog, and it was all cool. And then suddenly I saw you two together and I was just like, oh my god, like it made me go goosebumpy. I don't know if it's my age or what, I was like all emotional, and I was like a bit like, made me a bit tearful. Like, I really wanted to just share that. Like, it just straight away made me realize what you're doing and why you're doing it. And for you, Michelle, and for you, Sarah, like, there is so much passion and purpose behind it. To see you, Nick, was just like really brought it all home, like brought it all home. And also, I'll be really honest, like, you know what, you're so young, and what a difference this dog can make for you.
and you to him too, because you are giving him a cool job and he's giving you a cool purpose. Like for me, the two of you. So tell us a little bit about him and maybe tell us about how he helps you, Nick.
Yeah, he just turned 4 in December. He's a big yellow lab. He's a little bit on the lazier side sometimes, but when it's time to get to working, he's ready for it. For me, when he helps me, he does a lot, but I think the biggest thing is he gets me out. He gets me moving. I tend to fall into depressions, anxiety, a bunch of different things. And he pulls me out of it pretty quick because he gives me something to focus on or distracts me. There's just so many tasks, commands, things that he can do. Just waking up in the morning and bringing him out to go to the bathroom and getting me out of the house is enough to fix my day usually. So having him with me, it definitely cures a lot of those things. I don't know. There's so much. Yeah, he could do. He's awesome. But yeah.
he also just like watching him. So I was watching him and I think it was Amy. Was it training Sarah when I was there? What he was doing. And it's funny, you don't even realize in yourself, like I definitely, when I was with you guys, I can definitely tap my leg in a bit of an anxious way. And you don't even realize necessarily you're doing these things, right? Like you don't even realize what you've got in you. And I watched Amy teaching and working with him and I watched her tapping her leg. And I've never thought about like the tapping of your leg and when you do it and why you do it and how you do it. And then I watched how he interrupted and I watched him doing like body pressure and stuff. And I was like, oh my goodness. Like there was me watching, like you said, he's quite a steady, potentially lazy Labrador. And I go for like really sharp, fast, energetic, sharp border collies. Like those are like they're my like spirit animal. And I'm like, yes, I love my and my spaniels. I love them both. They both are for very much me. And then I suddenly, watching Danny work, I fell in love with him. I was like, oh my goodness, you are such a good lad. Like you suddenly see his whole demeanor change, right? Like, so he goes from this steady lab to this like really cool working partner. And I like the body pressure, amazing. The interruption of like a twitch or that sort of anxious movement, immense and amazing. And you also realize like how in tune he can be. Like, how is that for you on a day-to-day basis?
It's funny you mentioned that because I was going to bring that up next. I actually just currently got a job working at Home Depot. I wanted to find something for us that I could, somewhere where I could bring him, where we could be working together. And it's just insane how often he comes, he checks in with me. I always know he's like a part of me. It's crazy how often he checks in. I can look down and almost every other time, usually every time I look down, he's looking up on me, just waiting for the next command, waiting for instruction. But yeah, it's wonderful. Definitely.
Well, first off, congratulations. That is blooming amazing. So on you, like that is absolutely great. And secondly, yeah, the look he had for you, like he was working with Amy and he was working with Sarah and he was cool, like in the space, but the second you were in that building, he is your dog. Like he is so your dog. And I think proud of that. And and just for our listeners, how old are you, Nick?
I just turned 27 in December.
So, like for me, I'm like watching and I'm like, God, it just such a nice partnership, like such a special partnership. Now, Michelle, how do you feel watching this and listening to this? And you must feel like, if I feel like goosebumpy and like emotional, you must be like crying back there. Like, how do you feel about it when you hear this and you see the difference you make?
Yeah, it's it definitely has its moments. There are some days when we're first teaching the veterans what the dogs are actually doing, that they have some really intense moments of self-awareness. And we try and like calm that down because it's not about focusing on like your anxiety or anything like that. It's just focusing on what do you and the dog need in this moment. You're furthering the animal's training. And you'll see some of our veterans that spend a lot of time with us, very quickly certain dogs will start to pinpoint their particular stress cues. We initially teach their dogs like a broad picture of what stress could potentially present like. But then what happens over time, the more they bond and work with a particular veteran, the more they start to pick out that veteran's stress cue. And so we have, like, for instance, a veteran who holds his breath when he gets a little anxious. And so we've had dogs that will like go and like nudge at him and like, you know, force him to pay attention with some sort of pressure. And that's nothing that we train. That's just because the dogs become empathetic and they look for behavior patterns and things like that. They see it, it creates an awareness in the veteran, and then we reinforce it as heavily as possible so the dogs keep looking for it, and it just transfers to different veterans and different dogs and different scenarios. And it's really neat to see as the dogs start to develop and evolve, you see a similar trajectory in the veterans as well. It's pretty cool.
Incredible. It's incredible. So tell us a little bit about maybe both Sarah and Michelle, like how you actually train the dogs in the early stages. So what are you looking for, especially with Mel just leaving? Like what sort of things are you, so the dog that's the dog that Sarah has just been like raising and puppy walking until he was ready to go. What sort of things are you looking for, and what sort of things are you training them in their early stages?
Michelle actually has a little baby puppy right now.
Do you want to see it?
Yes.
His name is Mortimer.
Yeah. So when we're doing the little baby puppy, we're just making sure that they like have the time and patience to take in the world around them. Because when you're training a service dog, you're asking them to be totally cool with their like external surroundings, no matter what's going on first. And then to shift that, to look to a person when they might need some help.
Oh, so good.
He's a very baby. This is probably a little bit what Danny looked like when he was a puppy, because he was little and yellow and a lot of skin.
I would guess. Look at him. He's so wrinkly. He's
about 16 weeks.
He's gorgeous. And what's his name?
His name's Morty. Yeah, he's named after a Navy veteran.
Gorgeous. Absolutely. Yeah.
And then as they start to get a little more understanding of what it is that we're doing, we'll look for dogs that truly are like empathetic and thoughtful. In some instances, we see dogs that can become very like work oriented as opposed to like feelings oriented. And so we try to like walk that line really nicely of like, yeah, you're working with a bunch of different people, but like do it thoughtfully. And so there are some instances that you see the dogs really start to truly understand an individual, but then they'll switch to somebody else they don't know. And then they'll play like a substitute teacher thing with them. So it's really cool to see how truly like thoughtful the dogs are, and how much they dig patterns, and how quickly they can pick up like the individual nuances of people.
That's amazing. Absolutely amazing. Have you had some highlights in what you guys are doing? And I think there's probably, Nick, it's worth saying that now, whilst you have Danny, you also have an involvement back with the center now. So Nick, maybe just share with everyone what you do with the center, but equally Michelle and Sarah, maybe we'll be ready with some like highlights of what you've done. And for me, a highlight, Nick, for sure, is meeting you and being there. Like, I loved meeting Sarah. I loved meeting Amy. I loved watching them train dogs. But actually, there's a place where you go, this is the purpose. And there's me running around with agility dogs and having a great time and winning and doing all these fun things. And then I see this and I'm like, oh my God, this is so much more meaningful. Like, there's so much meaning to it. There's so much depth to it. And you realize how much dogs really do change lives, and that they can get you out of a rut, and they can be just super, just intuitive, like massively intuitive, emotionally sensitive and aware and emotionally intelligent, actually. Emotionally intelligent. So yeah, Nick, tell everyone what you do.
Yeah. So looking back at it, it's crazy the journey that I've had with my like volunteering with Warrior Canine Connection. I didn't think that it was ever, I never would have thought when I first started volunteering that it would have went this far. I think after the first couple sessions, it was when COVID had just first kicked off in the United States, and we were doing on Zoom, actually, we would be doing training. So I remember Danny being a puppy, and one of the other trainers, Robin, who was his puppy parent, would be holding him in front of the camera and showing us the different commands. So when I finally got to first meet him for the first time, it definitely changed my life when it came to that. That was a new, for me, that was a new like method of therapy in a way, super therapeutic. And I volunteered as much as I could. And I still, whenever I can, it helps a lot. I get a lot from going to the sessions that they have, sometimes more than what I get from the Veterans Affairs system here, I definitely get a lot from the VA here, but I think it's indescribable what I can achieve from Warrior Canines Connection. And yeah, definitely the partnership I have with Danny, it's just like, yeah, I don't think it could be replaced in any other form.
The other thing you maybe don't realize or appreciate is just how much you're such a brilliant ambassador for what you guys do. So actually, Michelle and Sarah, I know they will appreciate that. But Nick, for me, like when you hear like veterans and stuff, like I'm going to be really stereotypical here. And I'm going to say you imagine like someone much older, or you imagine someone like, you just don't imagine you, Nick. You imagine like people that are like in a, and I think that's where we go wrong sometimes with society, is just realizing that this can be anybody, and this can be any age, and this can be at any time in your life, this can be something that you're going to need help with. And actually Danny's taken you out of a place that really was pretty tough. And actually look at where you are now. Like, you're there getting a job, you're there taking him to work with you, you're there literally creating an amazing life for yourself. Like, I feel proud of you, and I barely know you. Like, I feel proud of you. I feel really proud of what these guys are doing. Like, I just think that's like, what a magical like thing to be doing, and what purpose that has. Like, so I think know that, Nick, you talking to people, and know that you telling people your story will inspire, it will inspire so many people. If it inspires me, and I hear a lot of stories and a lot of people's lifestyle and how dogs help them, this one really hit a nerve for me, like really hit a nerve for me.
Yeah, so. Thank you. I definitely appreciate it. I meet a bunch of different veterans, different ages. And when I first got out of the Marine Corps, I struggled with not finding that unity, or having, I don't know, just that group wasn't there. I was lonely. I struggled with substance abuse. I didn't know about like mental health diagnoses at the time. And that's what ended up bringing me to Warrior Canine Connection. So I meet other veterans. I luckily caught it when I was younger, but some people go on for a while until either they have to go inpatient, or they get arrested, or something happens to where they find out that these are the problems that have been going on since they got out. Yeah, I try to bring people or introduce them to Warrior Canine Connection as much as I can. Sometimes they come, sometimes they don't, but I don't know. I've benefited so much from it, and I recommend it to as many veterans as I can who struggle with the same problems.
And know that your impact, you being able to explain that, is so much better than Michelle or Sarah, as much as they love you guys. Being able to explain that will make way bigger, way more like meaningful impact, because you're there and you've been through it and you're who you are. And that being able to tell your story and being able to show your story and being able to show what Danny has done with you and what these guys have then done, that is going to help everyone. Like, it's going to help the program. It's going to help you. And the other thing is, every time you're helping someone else, Nick, you also are partially healing where you are, right? Like, so for me, it's great for you. It's great for everyone you connect with. And just like you said, and I love the fact that you guys have got connection in your name, really. Like, it is about connection, and it is about a community. And I think so many people, I mean, that's where depression, loneliness, isolation, it's where it all comes from, right? Like, not having a connection and not having a community. So what you guys, Sarah and Michelle, are doing is magical, because you are connecting in a place of stress and stretch, really. So Nick, amazing. Like, and realize, Nick, how much you will make a difference to all of the program and the veterans.
Yeah. Thank you. I couldn't thank them enough, really. It's like a family, like, a Danny, and then I don't know. It's indescribable. They're like family. It's crazy. Never would have thought that going into it, like day one. It's insane how long it's been now.
That's the thing, though. Family for me isn't blood. It's absolutely your connections. It's all of your connections, and those are the people that, for me, of course, family's family. And then there's also your connections, and they are also it makes a mega difference. So Michelle and Sarah, what are some of your like wins or highlights or like great moments in this?
I think for me, the coolest thing has been seeing that community build over time. You know, when we started, or when Amy started, there was only one dog, and we've grown in the number of, I think we have 6 dogs now. But seeing the veterans come in and build community with each other and see that grow is really the coolest thing. To have, you know, 10 veterans that were isolated before now together as a group, and you know, we go and do training outings out in the community, and we'll tailor it to the veterans that we're working with. So if they have a hard time in a certain kind of area, we're going to help get them there with the dogs as we're helping the dogs get there. And to hear the veteran say, I haven't been able to do that in years, but be able to do it successfully, maybe in a short, you know, amount of time, like not a long duration of time. Like, it's really cool to see the impact of the dogs. And I'm a mental health therapist, and I can tell you that me going with a client that I'm working with is much less effective compared to them going with a dog that they're working with. You know, like, it's just a different relationship, and you don't have to talk about trauma. You don't have to talk about all the bad things that have happened. It's just like, we're in this together and we're going to get through this. And if we're not, then we're going to leave, you know, like for the dog or for you. And that's good too. So seeing that when it happens and seeing people be able to work up that courage, to try and do things that that were inaccessible before is a really cool part of what we do. And I think that's unique to Warrior Canine, because we enlist veterans in the training process. So it's not just the pairing to the service dog. It's the whole upbringing up to 2 years of the dog, where they're working with different veterans having these same experiences. And it's just, it really is powerful.
No, it's mega listening. I can tell. And it's amazing. Michelle.
Yeah. Just to piggyback a little bit off of what Sarah was saying. I think one of my most pivotal moments was understanding, after working with one of our veterans for an extended period of time, he came to me and said that he finally felt like he came to the understanding that he deserved to be on our wait list. And so that opened up this whole other conversation of, it's not about what you deserve. It's not about what you've earned. It's about all this other stuff. And so then diving into that whole idea of why you think it's something that you have to earn turned into, now he's on the wait list. He's confident. He's happy. He's letting the process work at its own pace, at its own rate. He's not as nearly as results focused as he was prior to coming to work with us, because we work with living, breathing creatures, and we can say we're going to work on these skills one morning, and then the dogs come in and they get a wild hair, and we don't touch that skill all day because the dogs aren't there for it. And we're not going to make them work on things that they're not ready for or able to in those moments. And so it helps shift the focus for a lot of our veterans too, of coming in and thinking like, we're going to do this and this and this today, where now they're walking in and they're like, what are we doing? Because they have no idea what we are going to do because the dogs haven't told us yet. And so watching that evolution of a lot of them take a breath and realize that this is like truly an organic thing. And it's, yes, of course, we have a training curriculum and we have goals and all of this stuff, but that can shift at a moment's notice. And part of your journey is being able to shift in those moments with the dogs. And then I guess one of the other ones is, one of our veterans hadn't been into a store in over 2 years. And then one day she got a wild hair. We went on an outing, and now she's turned into one of our, like, she comes in and she's like, where are we going today? So she went from being in the house, or like at, not even at work, just in her house or in her car for 2 years. And now she like goes to the mall to go Christmas shopping. And sometimes she doesn't even take us or the dogs with her anymore. Like, she's gotten to the point where she can go do what she needs to do, and it's not nearly as stressful as it used to be. And that's a really empowering moment for me to witness.
Just amazing. Absolutely amazing. I think for me, watching you guys and watching you guys train as well was rewarding, because when you imagine, like, you can't make these dogs do these things. It's a bit like agility. I don't believe you can make a dog, my sport, I don't believe you can force them to do it. They're not going to do it if they don't want to. And they're definitely not going to do it with any joy, or they're not going to do it fast if they don't want to do it. And so for me, watching your dogs train, I was watching and they trained with real joy. And I don't know, was it Nick? Was it Robin that was there? The lady that had lots of dogs. Puppy.
Yep.
She was gorgeous. And she's like a family member, isn't she? You just want to hug her. She knows what she's doing. And I'd feel really confident to leave any of my dogs with her. And I'm really funny about who I leave my dogs with. I would be very happy. You could tell she's just accomplished and she's handling dogs, and she's cool with the dog. Like, she's just cool. She's relaxed. She's not stressy. She's got a nice energy about her.
Definitely. And good for the dogs and for life, for humans.
You just love to sit and have a cup of tea and a chat with her, wouldn't you? She's just like the type that you just have to sit.
Yeah. tying in the like what you're saying about you can't make them do anything. I think that's one thing that Warrior Canine Connection does good about when during their training sessions is kind of tying them into the veteran's life. So like if they're trying to train like a puppy to sit down or to go into the down position and they're just taking their time, they'll somehow tie that into our lives. If we're having a stressful day and our anxiety's out of control, that sometimes it's okay to just wait and wait out the emotion that you're going through for that to pass until that everything is going to be okay. Because I don't know, working with the dogs are just so non-judgmental. I don't know. It's somehow everything translates into our lives in a way. Whatever. It can't. Everything does. So
I weird. Think that's very clever. These guys are doing voodoo magic here. And actually, Sarah, it's why you align very well with what you're doing here, working with mental health and working with that in on a daily basis. I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, we've all got mental health going on. And I also think that having that awareness and that connection, that ability to translate it and to make it relatable, I think to make it relatable is really important. Now, watching what you were training the dogs, I had a few favorite things I liked. Like I like opening cupboards and closing cupboards and doing light switches and stuff like that. But you know what? For me, watching the dogs read like a knee twitch or watching the dogs read when you need like a bit of pressure, that for me is incredible. And I'm watching a young dog at the moment. I've got a client who's a, I've never trained a service dog. And I typically have trained high drive sports dogs. And I have a young trainer at the moment. She's 14 and she has been in a wheelchair since she was about seven, I think, maybe six, seven, quite young, from a car accident. And she got her dog a year ago. They couldn't necessarily spend on a trained therapy dog. So they've taken on a nice dog who's got some good foundation skills and they started to train her. And one of the biggest things I watched this little girl enjoy with her is deep pressure. And I watched how that little dog helps her when she has to have like changes and lots of other things going on. And that dog is really brilliant at understanding that. And that dog is really brilliant at reading those moments. Now, what would be some of your favorite skills that you've either you've got from Danny that you think, Nick, he really helps you? Like what are the moments he really helps you? I know for my dog, Tokyo, he seems to know when I need him and he'll just rest up against me and he really rests up against me. And I've got lots of dogs, but he is the dog that will do that for me out of all my dogs. What is it that Danny does for you? And Michelle and Sarah, what would be some of your favorite skills that you've either taught or witnessed being taught or watched the dog do just empathetically? What would some of those be? And I'll start with you, Nick.
Yeah, I think Danny definitely keeps me really grounded. Especially if he can sense usually whenever I'm stressed out or something's going on. It's kind of crazy. Like when you were talking about the dogs opening covers and stuff, which is still like really impressive. Like him turning on and off light switches is really cool. But I think just him being able to see that emotional factor and yeah, like I don't really twitch, like tap my leg as much. There's a couple different things I do. Like I'm going to try to work on pacing. Pacing is a big one I do. We have like, it's something I brought up to the trainers that we're going to try to start figuring out maybe. And then, I bite my nails a lot. So he interrupts that in a heartbeat. If I put my hands together, he even accidentally, usually he'll come in and interrupt it. But yeah, he just keeps me grounded. He just senses whenever there's something going on, but I think that him just being there and going back to bringing me out and getting me outside, it prevents me from getting into a lot of those like emotional states that become problematic later on, because he's keeping me engaged with the community outside instead of just staying isolated. So I think that's the biggest one, which there's countless commands that he does in between there when it comes to, I guess, behaving in public that allows me to bring him out. He's so good in public. It's really cool.
He's such a good dog, isn't he? Like everyone would love a Danny in their life. There's no one that wouldn't love a Danny. If anyone said, like, would you, like, if Danny was coming here to stay, I'd be like, yeah, Danny can come and stay. Like, he's just a really cool dog, isn't he? And the weird thing is I liked him when he was not with you. And then the moment I saw him working with you, I loved him. I was like, he's, suddenly realize like it opens a whole new perspective on what he can do. Mega and magic. Go on then, Michelle, tell me one of yours.
Sure. So I guess since I've started here, I've been raising dogs for the organization. So I've seen quite a few behaviors that not necessarily that I have trained. And one of them being, I'm a cuticle picker. So when I'm stressed out and it's something that I can I could pull my sleeve up and nobody would know what I was doing, except for all of our dogs. And so, especially the ones that live with me. So I'm at the grocery store and I'm already kind of stressed out because it's the grocery store at 5 PM on a Tuesday. And that's a terrible idea, but my dogs need the exposure. So I'm in the checkout line picking my cuticle and one of my dogs is bumping against my hand. I'm like, "Hey, I told you to lay down. What are you doing? Stop embarrassing me in public." And I went back picking my cuticle and he got back up and started bumping at my hand. And I put my hands up in the grocery store. I was like, "What is happening?" And then I collected myself and I was like, "Oh, he's recognizing something from those hand movements as me." And my energy ratcheted way up. And he was being actively disobedient because I told him to lay down, but he was seeing the more large picture of what was happening. That I was uncomfortable in the checkout line and I just wanted to be done grocery shopping. So I had to collect myself so that my dog stopped calling me out in public, which I think is his real goal. One of our other dogs, I taught him. He liked to lick a lot when he was a puppy. And I'm a professional dog trainer, but I don't want dog kisses constantly. No, thank you. So I taught him to touch his nose to your nose, just a boop kind of situation. And he changed that into when he would be doing a lap command. If the veteran's lap that he was in would ignore him, he'd pull his face back and smash his nose against the veteran's nose until they would look at him. So you'd see multiple crossed eyes looking at you. And so he'd just be standing there with his face pressed against someone else's face, wagging his tail until they engaged with him. Because even though he's in your lap, you might not be paying 100% attention to him. And he really needed all of your focus. So very exciting.
You've got to love it. How can you say no to that, right?
Yeah. He won't allow it. Yeah.
Brilliant.
The person is great. Personalities are.
Go on, Seth. It's yours.
I knew Michelle was going to tell the nose boop story just because it's just so hysterical when you see it. The nose is just smashed up.
We were building duration, so it got a little weird to a point. If people were paying attention, it was intense.
But cute, very cute. So I think stress cues is something that does pull everybody in. I know, the first time I taught Tallman, who was the dog I first kind of worked with, it was really cool to see him start to do a chin rest on my bouncing leg and things like that. So, but I feel like we've covered that. So one of the things that I really love, I'm really into fitness and for dogs. And a lot of what we do is teaching the dogs kind of how to manage their body, how to get into small, tight spaces, how to back up. You know, we go to court with the dogs and they have to get out of the aisle and they have to back up or maneuver that situation without causing a disturbance. So I find that I get to pull a lot of the stuff that I did learn from Absolute Dogs into what we're doing with physical body movement. And it's cool to see the dogs be uncomfortable and be like, "I can't do this." And then they do it and they're like, "Right on." And usually when it's challenging, it's been so rewarded at that point that they do it forever. You know, I'm thinking of Tina, not wanting to get in the basket. And now you can't get Tina out of the basket. It's a photo op constantly for Tina in the basket. So
Just explain to everyone, because I think for me, I understand because I watched you guys train. Why do you want them to get into small spaces and why do you want them to put themselves in uncomfortable positions? Because I saw you working. I get it. How about anyone listening?
Yeah, I think say you're going on a airplane ride or on public transportation, you need the dog to be able to be safely placed away so they're not tripping anybody and close to the veteran. They might be at work where they're under your desk. And once your stress is starting to build up, they're putting their leg on your knee. So we want them to be discreet you know, we don't want them laying out in the aisle and having everybody trip over them and or draw attention to them constantly. You know, we want the veteran to be able to have a little bit of discretion when they're when they've got their dog with them, if they don't want people to bother them. So, yeah, they absolutely have to be able to fit in confined little spaces and potentially for a good long while. So having duration in those positions is important too.
So Nick, has Danny had any fun adventures with you or different places to go with you? Or, I mean, God, the fact he gets to come to work with you is really cool.
Yeah. I bring him literally everywhere I go. Like, I just started leaving him every once in a while at the house in the morning for an hour to go on a run. And I feel bad even doing that. So usually everywhere I go, I bring him. So the cool thing about Asheville, North Carolina is we have a lot of really amazing hiking trails with waterfalls and just a really cool lookouts. So I bring him on all of those every time I go on a road trip, any gas station. I bring him everywhere. I think that like some of the cooler places would definitely be the hiking trails, because most of the like pet dogs I would have had in the past, they just wouldn't have been either up for going on a trail without them dragging you up the mountain, where he walks either right next to me the whole time, like the leash is slacked. I don't even probably have to hold the leash half the time. He'll walk right next to me. But I think the fact that like I could bring him out there, and then anywhere I go at a store, I think like it's like a adventure every day, really. I mean, with him, I'm not a social person usually. So the fact that when I'm going out with him and people are coming up to me and I'm openly talking to him and enjoy talking about him and like showing him different commands and like stuff that he can do and just showing him off, it's pretty life changing, because I isolate and not, well, I'm really like quiet, I guess, usually. I'd avoid conversation with somebody if I had to usually. So it's different. It's a lot different.
I would never have guessed that, like literally from meeting you and Danny. Yeah. So that's pretty cool that from meeting you and Danny that you absolutely like beamed from the minute you saw him. Like you came in the room and I didn't even need to think twice. That's Danny's dad. Like it was like immediate. It was like those two, they're besties. And then the second thing I was going to say is that I can really see you at some point doing like some sort of like talks with him or like teaching like schools and things like that. Like, I think you'll be so inspiring to, I mean, you may already be doing things like this, but for me, that's what you should be doing, because I know there are so many youngsters out there and people out there that like, I was watching a dog trainer the other day. He's in the same sort of field of work that I'm in, and he's out there going into schools and teaching people about dog training. Yeah, that's okay. You can teach people something completely different, that you can take it way, way, way further. You've got the life experience that a lot of people have not got. And you've got the emotional intelligence through working with Danny, and you've got the story that is your story. And I feel like you could have mega impact there. And I think you could really help the lives of a lot of other people doing that, Nick, because you and him are really, you're a great, like, candidate for being able to showcase the amazing work that these guys do, but also the amazing work that dogs do, and also how you can turn it around. Like, I think that's like, not everyone can do that, because some people don't turn it around, number one, and some people never need to turn it around, right? Like, they don't have that life experience. And so you've got something that a lot of people don't have. So I think just like utilize that and know that and know how special that is for a lot of people. You will make, like I said, that dog trainer's out there telling people about dog training. You can do that times 1,000. Like, you can do, your impact will be way bigger.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, he gives me the courage to actually try to do things like that. Like, I know in the past I definitely was a little lost, and he gives me a purpose every day. So, and thank you.
No, really. I mean, I think one thing, know that we're all lost some days. And then secondly, and so I think that is, it's good to know that you're human. Secondly, know that I'm inspired by you, and I talk to a hell of a lot of people. I'm inspired by you. I would be putting you out for like awards in, like, we have like Heroes Awards and things like that. Like, you guys would be out there for me, because I think also because of what you've had and where you've gone, and probably your age and your stage and what you're doing. Like, for me, when I saw you, I was just like, that is what this is about. That, like, is, if you were to put a picture out there and a teamwork and a, Like you are that is it. Like, so I think that you guys could do some mega things there together. Like really could. Yep. I mean, you already are. And I think you can get really big with it. Like I really do.
Yeah. So, thank you.
Amazing. Amazing. So guys, thank you so much for talking. And I'm sure we could probably do another one. And maybe Michelle, we could do one on training, because sure. I actually think we could talk training and we could talk some of the behaviors that you teach and maybe how you teach some of the behaviors. Because for me, particularly watching like the interruptions, I think that was really magic. And watching how, like you said, with the cuticles, which is dead funny, but actually on a serious note, like the like tapping or the head or the like all of those things, like what an impact that dog can have for breaking a pattern that can actually be quite destructive and breaking a pattern that can actually be quite, like, to be honest, life ending, right? Like it can be a bad space to be. And for me, that would be magic. So are you up for that maybe, guys?
Yes. That's awesome. Training, my favorite.
Yeah. Mine too. Dog training. I like both. Guys, that was amazing. That was this episode of the Sexiness Girl podcast. I will see you next time for even more dog training fun. And remember, stay sexy.